Paul Simon's musical, The Cape Man, opens tonight on Broadway after a 3-week delay and many last-minute revisions to the script. Simon has received critical acclaim in the past for his musical forays into other cultures, but never before has one of his projects been so widely anticipated and criticized. As Mario Murillo reports, The Cape Man's portrayal of Puerto Rican culture has already come under a great deal of scrutiny from many in the Latino community.
Paul Simon's first Broadway musical, The Cape Man, depicts the life of Salvador Agron, a young Puerto Rican who, in the summer of 1959, stabbed two white kids to death in the rough-and-tumble streets of New York's Hell's Kitchen.
I was born in Puerto Rico. We came here when I was a child. Before I reached the age of 16, I was running with a gang.
When he was arrested, Salvador Agron was called the Cape Man because of the black cape that he wore. He became a media symbol of urban decay and criminality. At the age of 16, he was sentenced to die, the youngest man ever put on death row in New York State.
I have walked through the valley of death row to the shore. I have stumbled through silvery water to my savior, my Salvador. It took me 4 years to.
After serving 20 years in prison, where he became a political activist and learned to write poetry, Agron's sentence was commuted and he was released in 1979. He died in 1983.
Time is an ocean.
The Cape Man brings together three of the most celebrated performers in contemporary Latin popular music. Puerto Rican singer Mark Anthony plays the young Salvador Agron, Panamanian composer, singer, and actor Ruben Blades plays the older Agron, and singer Ednita Nazario is making her Broadway debut as Esmeralda, Salvador's impoverished mother.
Salvador, the afternoon sunlight is folding around us, the dishes are done.
But the Cape Man is being scrutinized by the Latino press because of the painful memories many Puerto Ricans still have of the last major Broadway production in which Puerto Ricans played a prominent role. In 1957, Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story was a smash hit musical. Veteran Latina playwright, director, and educator Dolores Prida is concerned that, like West Side Story, The Cape Man is focusing once again on gangs and violence.
In terms of Broadway, we're still stuck in the same place and at the same time. Late 50s, gangs killing each other, young people killing each other. In a way that has not changed, because we still, unfortunately, have the same situation with gangs. At this rate, what are we looking forward to? In the year 2037, the Merengue Duopera about the Latin Kings, the Dominican gang. I guess they'll be next.
The Cape Man's leading female voice, Ednita Nazario, disagrees.
This is so not West Side Story-ish. This is a total departure from West Side Story. The historic context of the play takes place around that same time. West Side Story is a Latinized, quote-unquote, Romeo and Juliet. This is a story that is told within the context of something that did happen. It in no way shows the Latinos or the Puerto Ricans in a negative light. This is a very unique story. It's a tragic story. If anything, it's like a Greek opera.
Paul Simon has spent almost 10 years developing The Cape Man. He's visited Puerto Rico several times and worked closely with the family of Salvador Agron, the musical's protagonist. Latinos make up the vast majority of the cast. Nevertheless, there has been criticism from the Latino theater community that most of the creative personnel are non-Latino, from the director, set and costume designers and choreographer, to the very important position of playwright-lyricist. For this, Paul Simon chose Caribbean-born Nobel laureate Derek Walcott. Playwright and educator Dolores Prida says this is unacceptable.
When I read the story in the Time magazine about how Simon wanted a Caribbean sensibility in putting together the piece, they went to the islands, but he didn't go to the right island. if he really wanted a Caribbean sensibility about a Puerto Rican story, he should have gone to Puerto Rico and hired a Puerto Rican writer.
Veteran New Yorican poet Pedro Pietri is the author of Puerto Rican Obituary, an epic poem that depicts the Puerto Rican urban experience that has become a classic of U.S. Latino literature. Pietri says he worked on one of the earlier versions of the text for The Cape Man, but was phased out after Derek Walcott was brought into the project by Simon.
What message is he sending out to the Latino writers? We can do everything but write about ourselves. Okay, so you got the dancers, you got the actors, big deal.
This is not the first time that Paul Simon has been scrutinized for his forays into other cultures. He collaborated with South African musicians on the Grammy Award-winning Graceland, and in 1991 he released Rhythm of the Saints, where he experimented with Brazilian sounds. Paul Simon was unavailable to comment for this report because of the intense schedule prior to the Cape Man's opening, but many involved in the production say he has studied the music thoroughly. The show mixes a variety of Afro-Caribbean rhythms like bomba, plena, and salsa, with the sounds popular in the U.S. at the time, such as doo-wop, rock, and gospel.
When I listen to what they're doing and how is it being expressed, and it's being expressed sincerely and with quality.
Panamanian recording artist Ruben Blades, one of salsa's leading voices for the past 15 years, rejects the idea that a non-Latino composer, such as Paul Simon, should not venture into the world of Latin American music.
I don't know how long this has been around. This notion that in order to play certain songs, you have to belong to a certain ethnic group. And I think that's a really outrageous idea. I mean, why can't I react to, as a kid, to rock and roll? Why not react to doo-wop? Because it's not Spanish? Why should somebody from Sweden be denied the possibility to react to a nice Cuban dance song? And so on and so forth.
The long wait and the intense scrutiny that was expected because of Paul Simon's celebrity is finally over. After three directors, considerable script revisions, and a three-week delay in the show's opening, the curtain is now going up. With an estimated total budget of $11 million, it's fair to say that a lot is riding on the Cape Man's success. For NPR News, I'm Mario Murillo in New York.